This is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, originally broadcast on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and proudly brought to you by our friends at Polymorph Games and Hobbies. Find them at polymorphgames.com.au.
I'm back, and it sent the old boys running for the hills yet again.
Who are you?
My name is Leon. I was a Dice Man several weeks ago, and I haven't been back until now, and it's, again, made two of the older fellas, Mark and Trent, run away again. I'm starting to feel a theme here, and I don't know if I care for it.
Oh, it's nice to have you back, Leon. We've missed you so much.
I have just been working my little socks off so I can save up to take my lovely wife on a good old holiday, because that's what grown-ups do, I think.
Yeah.
So that's what I've done. And I've played very little, but I'm going to pretend like I've played lots to make this interesting. So, you are listening to The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This is episode 180.
Oh, good darts.
On this, the 31st of August, it is the end of winter, and much like Jon Snow, winter has indeed came and gone.
Indeed.
And it is time for spring to sprung. So I've done very little gaming of late, but apparently you guys have been kicking on with it, so we can have a chat about that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about a party game that's been around for a little bit.
Right.
You're going to talk us through Secret Hitler, which
Indeed.
Is going to be a lot of fun. We'll lead that into some other party games that we've been doing last week, because Oren, good friend of the show, happy birthday, had a birthday not too many days ago.
Happy birthday,
good sir. Excuse to get some games to the table.
Yes.
We're then going to talk about some iOS, which I've done. We'll talk about our competition, and if we've got anything else, we'll go from there. But let's get to a song first. You are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Oh my goodness, that was The Kicks from Tassie with Are You Going Out Tonight? You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. With thanks to Polymorph Games and Hobbies. Thanks so much, Neil and the guys there. We didn't say the promo code yet.
No, I kind of forgot about that. Sorry about that, Neil. I'll make it up to you next time. Right now.
As you should. So promo code DICEMEN, all caps,
yes.
DICEMEN.
Yes.
Add it to your promo code in the shopping basket thing.
Yep.
Get an extra 5% off. They're incredibly low, low prices.
Yes, and already free shipping over 150 duelers, I believe.
Excellent. Love free stuff. Yeah. All right. Talk about a game, Leon.
Talk about a game.
Talk about a game.
I will. I will talk about a game that's arguably probably the hottest party game in the hobby at the moment.
Ooh.
Well, I'd say close to it, at least in the last year or so. And that is Secret Hitler, a social deduction game for 5 to 10 people about finding and stopping the person that is secretly Hitler.
Oh, and wouldn't have got that from the time.
No, but it's as good a cause as I think you could possibly have in a board game, stopping Hitler. Although in this game, they are depicted as lizards, horrible lizard evil people. So to take away from the kind of real world horrors surrounding this, they try to make it a little bit of kind of fun, kinda.
But yeah,
so Hitler is kind of a massive lizard in this. The people that made this game is a company called Goat, Wolf and Cabbage.
Okay.
I did not know that until I did some research for this and thought that, well, that's odd. What else have they done? Oh, nothing but this. So good on them. Go you good thing, Goat, Wolf and Cabbage.
If they've done nothing else, at least they've done Secret Hitler.
Yeah. So Secret Hitler, it is a dramatic game of political intrigue and betrayal set in 1930s Germany. Each player is randomly and secretly assigned to be a liberal or a fascist. Now, I'm just going to quickly read out the dictionary definition, because that's how exciting the show is, of what a fascist actually is, or what fascism actually is.
All right.
It is a form of radical authoritarian nationalism characterized by a dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition, and control of industry and commerce that came to prominence in the early 20th century.
So it's basically how Trent runs the Dice Men.
Yeah, it's basically, basically a bad person.
Oh.
And bad people in general. We don't want to, you know, show our political leanings here on the show, but
not at all.
We're not those folk at all. Just thought I'd let you know. And there is actually something very funny before I go on with the rest of this about this game on their official website. There is a Q&A and it says, "I don't think there's anything funny or cool about fascism. How can I send a complaint to you?" And they have said, "You can send all complaints about the horrors of fascism to President Donald J. Trump, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., 20500, United States."
There we go. Because didn't they also send a copy to every U.S. senator or something like that? I remember
they did.
Someone talking about that
they
on the
said
show.
They sent a lot of copies to the people in government because, you know, but although they probably wouldn't play it. You know how like a chef doesn't really like to cook at home. These guys probably don't want to be, you know, horrible evil lizards all day and then come home and be horrible evil lizards at night.
I can only imagine.
But either way, off that and back to the fun stuff. Well, not really. So one player is secretly Hitler, and he has his fascists on the table. They coordinate to sow distrust and install their bloodthirsty leader into control of this whole game.
Yep.
And the Liberals must try and find and stop secret Hitler before it is too late. And the Liberal team, regardless of how many people you play with, always has the majority.
Yep.
So there's always more good guys than bad guys, which I think is the way the world generally tends to work.
Mm.
Just sadly, the bad guys tend to have the loudest voice, which then leads stupid people to follow them. Anywho, at the beginning of the game, players close their eyes and the fascists reveal themselves to one another. Although the person that is actually Hitler keeps his eyes closed, but he puts his thumb up in the air for the fascists to see. So the fascists, the bad guys, they know who their Hitler is. They know who the person they want to try and win is. But Hitler doesn't actually know who his allies are. So it gives a kind of a twist on that resistance thing of you're the good guys, we're the bad guys, let's go from there.
Exactly.
It adds an extra step to that kind of process. So they learn who Hitler is, but Hitler has no idea. And the Liberals, they don't know who anybody is.
No, you just sit there with your eyes closed, twiddling your thumbs and making sure you don't stick them up
yep.
so that people think you're Hitler.
Yeah.
Now, we played this, as I said, at Oren's party not too many nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time where we'd played it with the little companion app that has one Will Wheaton talking you through.
What's he been up to in the last few years? Haven't heard his name much.
I don't know. Was he from Star Wars or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he talks you through very much like you do with the Resistance and what have you.
Yeah.
The whole setup, the eyes closed and the thumbs up and the eyes open and don't move your eyes and put your thumb back down, Hitler, and all of that kind of thing.
Yep.
And that sets the tone really well.
Well, I would like to think so. I've played this game quite a few times over the last year or so, but I haven't played with the app before. I didn't even know there was one.
Well, Will Wheaton hasn't really been doing much else, so, you know.
Honestly.
You could probably dial him in and he'll do it free.
Get on the promotion, Will. What are you doing? You've got plenty of free time on your hands. So, anyway, so the way it works is each round there will be a president, and the president will get to select a chancellor. And then those two people, they get to do kind of cool stuff. So the president goes around the table every round. The president marker moves around, and then they get to pick a chancellor. And what they're going to try and do is enact a law, either going to be a liberal policy or a fascist policy. So good or bad, blue or green, the way it's depicted in this game. So if the government passes a fascist law, players must try to figure out if they were betrayed or not. Because the way it's going to work is that you're going to be given three cards off this little deck. And I can't remember the exact ratio in there, but there's more liberal policies than there is fascist policies, but the fascist policies are still in there.
Oh, yeah.
So the president will pick up the top three cards and look at them, and then he'll put one face down, which then goes into the discard, hand two to the chancellor. The chancellor then will choose to enact one and discard one.
Mm.
So between the two of them, it could be you could get all liberal policies or you could get all fascist policies and you just don't know who to trust or who's been given what. And people can say, oh, well, I had pick up three fascist policies.
Of
so
course.
I gave them. What did you receive? No, they gave me a liberal and a fascist and I put down a liberal. What are they talking about? So the mistrust is sown from the start.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the kind of cool thing about this game is that when it comes to getting heated and more of a discussion and less of a puzzle than a lot of these games, this is one of the best because there is no real way of knowing. It is more about the can you lie better or tell stories better than everyone else, whereas a lot of these games, the game will kind of do a lot of that for you.
Hmm.
This is much more, it is about the conversation that you have in front of you.
Yeah, it is. And I like the fact that even when you pass the chancellor, pass the president round.
The president goes round.
Yeah.
And they choose a chancellor.
They choose a chancellor, but then you have a vote and
yes.
you have to see whether all of the players
yep.
think that the president and the chancellor should work together. And
yep.
if the vote fails, the president just moves straight along because
yep.
they weren't able to form a government
yes.
thematically.
Yes.
More importantly, we can't trust you two together because you're both bloody fascists
yes.
and you're going to try and promote your fascist ideology, whereas us honest liberals,
yeah.
we don't like that.
except if you do that enough times, a fascist policy just gets enacted anyway.
Yeah.
You can't just keep doing that over and over again because the game would take forevers because everyone would not trust anybody because they know sooner or later somebody's evil.
Well, because I think it passes, is it three times? If is a failed government three times,
yes.
You just flip over the very first policy and whether it's fascist or liberal, it goes onto the game board.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually seen that happen.
No,
it's kind of even with the distrust around the table, you kind of going to go, right, this is, we have to give at least some options. Just in, even if we don't trust these two people, we have to give kind of some options to how this is going to go down.
Yeah.
So the Liberal team is trying to pass five Liberal policies or to try and assassinate Hitler. And I'll show you how to do that in a second. The object of the fascist team is to pass six fascist policies or, in the later phases of the game, I think it is past three policies, they need to make sure that Hitler becomes the chancellor. Not the president, because in actual historical accuracy, Hitler became the chancellor of Germany before he actually became the Grand Poobah. He started out just as being the chancellor. Yeah. So as I said before, the majority of the players are liberal, and you have to learn to trust each other to see how the votes will go. And then once they get elected, you enact these agendas and you kind of go from there. And the game just keeps going until, basically until someone outs themselves as the bad guy and you go, yes, this, get to that guy. Or, which you can do purposely, and then people go, well, not that guy, and then move the attention away from young Hitler.
Yeah, well, it sort of takes an interesting twist about halfway through because the Liberals are trying to enact, I think, five Liberal policies, and that will be the win condition for them.
Yep.
The fascists are trying to get, six. Okay. But once there are three or more fascist policies, that's when some really cool stuff starts to happen.
Yes, that's when each round the president will be given a certain power.
Yeah.
And I've got them here. There's four different ones. I did not write down which rounds they actually occur in, which I really should have done. There's investigate, where the president investigates a player's party membership card. Because at the start of this, when you're all, everyone gets a little pack. And in that little pack, it shows what your membership card is. It'll either say fascist or liberal or Hitler, which is a fascist as well. And then it'll have the voting cards in there as well, the little yes, no cards for, or it's, na, was it ja?
Ja, nine.
Nine, of course.
Nine, nine,
that's
nine.
Silly of me. So the investigation, so you can look at somebody's membership card and then just reveal to the table, oh, yeah, that's Hitler, whether they believe you or not, who the hell knows. Another one, the president examines the top three policy cards. So if they look at the top three cards and see that they're all like, you know, the two blues and a red, and then the next one policy goes down and a red one gets put through, go, no, someone, there's a baddie, they did a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Presidential succession, the president picks the next president, so it doesn't go to the next person. The president gets to pick who the next president's going to be, so it skips somebody. And then execution, I'm pretty sure this is the first one that
it
happens.
Is. Yeah.
The players must kill a player.
Yeah.
So this game does have player elimination, and it prouds itself on their website saying, unlike, say, like a werewolf or a mafia, you don't get knocked out in the first couple of minutes by no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to the point in the game where it's been played for minimum 15-20 minutes by this point, and everyone's made their decision. Whoever the president is, they're the one who quite literally gets the bullet to put in the chamber.
Exactly.
And takes somebody out of the game.
And it was lovely to see that the first person who was killed in our particular scenario was Mark.
Yep.
That was great. It was good fun. It shut him up for a bit, which was nice. He wasn't Hitler, but that didn't really matter.
So
because the other thing is if Hitler is killed, then the Liberals will automatically win.
Yes.
But similarly, at a certain point in the game, if Hitler is appointed the Chancellor
at any point,
again, fascists and Hitler automatically win. So the game ramps up really quite quickly in the second half. So games are going for maybe half an hour at the absolute, absolute most.
Yep.
Even when you are tapping it out at the maximum player count.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. A lot of people have asked as well about the whole, I mean, let's face it, Hitler is not a fun thing.
No.
He is a horrible, horrible human being and a horrible stain on the world's history. But the reason that they actually made that as the theme of this game is because of Hitler's actual rise to power in the real world, how it went down. It had nothing to do with foreign interest. It had nothing to do with military. It was all political. And for people that are into politics, which I'm not, although I do like my history, that's how he got about doing it. He manipulated everyone around him. And it's not a popular thing to say because, again, horrible human being, but what he did was masterful, like a stroke of horrific genius. And beforehand, before he actually started doing the things he's most famous for, was actually yeah, people were all over it, just like, well, this guy's just amazing what he's done. And he did it very, very successfully. And that's the way that kind of this game plays out.
Yeah.
You manipulate everybody until you kind of get what you want. They don't get what they want, but you're in the position of power.
Mm.
So that's the point of the theme of this, even though it's a bit... because of who it is, and that's why they try and lighten it up with the whole evil lizard man thing.
Totally. Now, this game is going into a very crowded marketplace. Social deduction is everywhere, and when you did your Gen Con preview,
yes,
there was a hell of a lot of other social deduction games coming on.
Yep.
But it's bloody fun. I mean, that's ultimately what it's about. It's very quick. The quality of the actual game itself is brilliant. You've got little wooden plaques for the president and the chancellor, and the fascist or liberal policies are wooden as well. The boards are beautiful and embossed. It looks beautiful at the table.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. For people that love their social deduction games, because there's all different kinds of gamers that listen to the show and just in general, there aren't many social deduction games that are like big box games that are expensive because they're normally small deck of cards, like Yakuya Resistance, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Whereas this is kind of like that, but there is, as you said, a very nice physical addition you can get to this, and it kind of... it couldn't put prominent place on your shelf of games to have like, oh, this is my, you know, my expensive social deduction type of game.
Yeah.
And another very cool thing about this game, that even though it's been out for probably nearly 18 months or so now, you can still get this game completely for free. It is still for free to download a print and play and the rules and everything. You just need to have, you know, a printer available to do it.
Yep.
And they basically said, you know, the idea is kind of, we obviously to make this game gathered ideas from other games. Let's not muck about. There's a lot of resistance in there, mm-hmm. a lot of other games. We just kind of put our spin on it and whatever else. And so it's
and
pretty
they
much,
were bloody successful on Kickstarter as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they kind of went open source and went, if everyone wants to play this, go nuts. It's the same how the guys that made Cards Against Humanity, they made what they did. They are a big gaming fans in general, and they said, look, if everyone wants to take our idea and run with it, go nuts. We're not going to stop you because it's, you know, it's a horrible thing to kind of copyright someone that's trying to make something for the first time and go, no, you can't do that. They just went, yeah, go nuts. And these guys have pretty much done the same thing.
Yeah, cool. So, look, I had a lot of fun with that game. I mean, we played it for the first time. Well, I played it for the first time at PAX last year on one of those print and play copies, and that was cool. But to be able to play the proper real edition, it just made such a big difference. And playing it with seven people around the table was just a hell of a lot of fun.
And
so, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
It is one of the games where you can play this all night.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about some of these social deduction games. Once you get into it, you can get stuck into this game all night. And I've had a few nights where we've played this, and also there have been times where it gets awfully heated, but that's the kind of the whole point of why you play these games. And I have been told by some people that they don't really like social deduction games, but this one they did like. For whatever reason, this is the one that kind of turned them into it. I don't know why, but there you go.
Exactly right. Well, thanks so much, Leon. That was great.
Not a worry.
We're going to come back after a song, and we'll talk about some other little party games, I reckon.
Yeah.
After that, we'll do some iOS.
Yeah.
You are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. With thanks to Polymorph Games and Hobbies, we'll be back after these songs.
Well, that's not our fault. On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, that was Mike Noga with Nobody Leads Me to Flames, followed by Ryan Downey, Only Time. This week we are brought to you by our good friends at polymorphgames.com.au for your board gaming needs. And if you want an extra bit of money off on us, please go there and type in the discount code DICEMEN, all capitals, in the promo code area when you get to the end of it. Plus $150 will get you free shipping. And they are very good folk.
They are.
Now, Garth, as you said, our friend Oren the other day had a birthday.
Mm.
Happy belated birthday, Oren. I'm afraid I couldn't be there. I was knee-deep in chocolate at the time, which also happens to be my job, which is a bit of a coincidence, which was nice. But, yeah, so you guys, on top of Secret Hitler, played a few other little party games. And party games are something that, although we love our big old heavy Euros from time to time, you've got to love a good party game from time to time as well.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And it's something that we don't play enough of, I reckon.
No, because it's not really a game. Well, unless you've got more than six or seven people coming around, it's not something you go, right, on the weekend, I want you guys to come around. Like this weekend, I've got a few mates of mine that are coming around. We're playing This War of Mine and 51st State Master Set.
Yeah,
we're basing the night off doing those two things. Very rarely do I go, get seven or eight people around, we'll play these social games all night.
Totally. So they're great fillers normally.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's bloody hard to get six, seven, eight people around at the same time at the same place,
yep.
all wanting to play some games because you just have a tendency to have fun and talk to each other.
Yeah, well, we often do that quite a bit. That if, once you get that many people together, conversations and drinks and whatever else start flowing and the games kind of get pushed to the side, as well as I'm sure everyone who listens to this will be able to relate when you say, sometimes you really want to play a game and you can't find bloody two friends to do it.
I know.
Other days, you've arranged to have a couple of mates come around and all of a sudden, everyone you know is free. you could probably have 20 people there if you want, and then other weekends, you couldn't scrape two friends together.
I know. I very rarely have two friends, full stop. But anyway, Mark, unfortunately, came along to this party.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It was lovely that you were there, Mark. Thanks so much. And just so you know, Trent and Mark are still alive.
Yeah, supposedly.
They're just both conveniently working late.
All of us of late have been doing nothing but working. It's almost like winter in Tasmania. You just want to stay inside and make money for when the summer months kick in and we can bugger off.
Exactly. So anyway, Mark brought Happy Salmon.
Okay.
Now, Happy Salmon is about his depth of game.
Sounds about right.
It is a beautiful little kid's party game. It won, I think, best kids game at the Origins Awards a couple of months ago in the USA.
Okay.
It comes in this beautiful little salmon shaped pencil case looking thing that holds the cards.
Right.
And as far as a game goes, it's a piece of cake. It says it plays 3 to 6. I don't want to play it with 3 or 4 or 5. I think just play it at 6 because this is a game where there are 12 cards each for each player.
Mm-hmm.
There are only 4 different cards, so each of you will have 3 of the same card times the 4 different cards.
Yep.
And all you're going to be doing is each of you will have your face down deck in front of you. You'll flip over one card and it'll say switcheroo, or it'll say high five, or it'll say happy salmon, or it'll say the other one that I can't quite remember. Pound it. Boom.
Of course.
And all you're trying to do is match your action with someone else's action. So say you and I were playing Leon and there were 2 other people. Let's just call them Trent and Mark for the sake of argument.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So I'd be flipping over my card and I'd be going, high five, high five, high five, high five, waiting for someone else to also want a high five. When they flip over their card, high five happens and we get to flip our next card. And my next card might say, switcheroo, switcheroo, switcheroo. I need to wait for someone else to be doing switcheroo, switcheroo. Then we get up, swap spots. Then we're doing from the other deck of cards and you flip it and you might go, okay, happy salmon, happy salmon, happy salmon, which is essentially you're putting your hand out over the table and wiggling it around a bit around. like it's a fish.
Okay.
And then in very American fashion, it's got pound it.
Yes.
If this was an Australian game, there's no way that would be on this card.
No. Fist bump, I believe, is what it's called.
But yeah, pound it, 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 pound it. So then when you've got 6 people all yelling switcheroo or pound it or high five or happy salmon, it doesn't matter that the game isn't actually that good because everyone's just having fun.
I was going to say, for 10 minutes, you'll have a bit of chaos. I don't know how any of you guys didn't throw out a hip, though, from this switcheroo nonsense.
Well, look, we did have to house rule it for occupational health and safety. We were all wearing party hats for Oren's party, so we just did switcheroo of the party hats.
Oh, look at you guys being old yet sensible.
And avoiding exercise, most important.
Obviously, at that time of night, it's ridiculous.
Yep, so look, it was fun for 10 minutes. My kids have been pestering me to get this game purely because of the box.
Yep.
Like, it's neoprene style, looks like a salmon, perfect for a pencil case. Doesn't matter that the game's not very good, but it would be perfect for these couple of kids to play with their friends.
Well, as you just said, I mean, only just hearing about the game, yes, you'd want to play that with 6 people.
You would.
You would not. Maybe 5, you could maybe get away with it. But anything, if you have 4 people sitting around doing that, you got issues, I'm afraid.
Totally.
There's no ifs, buts, or maybes.
If there was 4 people, I'd just play Love Letter.
Exactly.
Because that plays quick. It plays 4. It's a fun game. There's a little bit more meat to it, but it still goes really, really quickly.
Yeah, well, that's for adults. And obviously, since it's a kid's game, when you've got 4, then you've got the, hey, that's my fish, your sushi goes, your all that kind of
exactly.
stuff, which we've talked about many, many times.
So then we also had Codenames.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Codenames.
Yep.
There's going to be a billion, million more types of Codenames.
Yes, Disney and Marvel is on the way.
Yeah, Codenames Duet, which 2-player game, I don't know.
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, Codenames, always good fun.
Yep.
So simple, so quick, so fun, and just clever.
Yeah.
We played that. We also had Sushi Go Party.
Yep.
Again, everyone knows our thoughts on that. What a fantastic game for this kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
I was at home and deciding, do I just take Sushi Go? or do I take Sushi Go Party? And I was going to a party, man.
Yeah, that's
you don't take Sushi Go to a party.
Sushi Go, they should rename it Sushi Go Travel. Yep. And Sushi Go Party, because that's what it is. Unless you're going, like, if you're going traveling, you take the normal one.
Yep.
Any other situation, if you don't take party, you're a bad person, essentially. If you just take the normal one, it's like, no, I just brought the normal one for us to play. No,
you don't.
That's a wrong way of doing
it. Correct.
Yep.
And then the last thing I took was Between Two Cities,
which
is Ben Rossett. You know, he designed Brewcrafters and has done a few heavier games.
Yep.
But it's just a simple tile laying game that plays up to 7.
Yeah, we've played it with 7, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of co-op because you're building two cities, one with the player to your immediate left, one to the player to your immediate right. You can't really play favourites because you're going to score the worst city.
Yeah.
That's what your score's going to be. So even if I'm stuck between you and Georgie or whatever the case may be, I have to play favourites with you guys.
Yes.
It's like, what?
Although, as you were talking about this, I just thought, could that possibly be a game that, in a category that I don't think exists until I'm about to say it, a Euro party game?
Oh, well, look, it's sort of that next step on a party game.
Because it's not really, I mean, it's a little bit dry, let's face it, for people that aren't proper board gamer gamers.
Yeah, true.
But, and it is kind of Euro-y in the sake of what you're doing. So I reckon it's that. I reckon it's a Euro party game.
Oh.
Which, I think there's a whole discussion topic in itself as to what other ones are like that, because I don't really know. I myself, as I said, I've worked a lot of late, and that's why I haven't been on the show. Apologies.
Yep.
But one thing I did do is a friend of ours, John, one of my Silver Bullet Society brethren, he had a birthday the other day, and he invited a few of us around to his place for a barbecue. And what we played was a game that's been around for a long, long time, but I don't think we've ever talked about it on this show. It's called Poker.
What?
Yes, we played Texas Hold'em.
Ah, okay.
Which is an absolute belter of a game. It is one of those things that's kind of boring to say, and we don't bring up chess, because that's kind of a redundant thing to say. But a good game of Texas Hold'em is really hard to beat. Like, you'll have an absolute great night. To play it properly, you do need to have real-world physical money on the line to get people to play properly.
You need them to be invested.
You need them to be invested.
Both monetarily, but also emotionally, because this game, it's all about the people that you're playing with.
Yeah, and it's all about kind of the banter, and it takes hours and hours and hours to play, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But as I said, it's kind of like, if you play a Euro game and one of the people on the table was kind of half-assed, not paying attention, the whole thing is spoiled.
Yeah.
In poker, it just means they're going to be out and they're going to be sitting in a corner where all the rest of us keep playing.
Or they'll be ponying up another $20.
Well, that's the thing. If you play with real-world money, that's a thing. So it's always something to consider at the end of the day, that I don't know what we're going to play and there's 5 or 6 people there. Just whip out a deck of cards and some chips. You'd be amazed what's going to happen.
Hardest part is having someone who knows it inside and out.
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, I don't think in this day and age that should be that difficult.
But that's got the river and the flop and
yeah, but that's not hard. That's not hard to figure out. 3 cards, then one. It's
far out.
It's nice. I know I'm breaking
Thanks,
your
Einstein.
Mind. I know I'm breaking your mind right now. But as we said before we were going to talk about this tonight, I just wrote down a cheeky little list of all the games that I have that are the best games for parties.
Oh, okay.
I thought I'd just rattle them off. Telestrations is still probably the best party game
it's
there
bloody
is.
Bloody hard to beat, isn't it?
That and the next one on the list, which is Time's Up / Monikers.
Yep.
Although I have had a situation with that where that hasn't gone down that well, because
really?
some people aren't that into like your pop culture and all that kind of stuff as much as like we are.
Mm.
And if they're starting to feel a little bit, I don't know half of this stuff, it doesn't make them feel good, which makes nobody feel good.
No, but that's where, is it Monikers, I think, is better than Time's Up, because at least on the card, it'll tell you what you need to do or what you need to say, or give you actually what it is that you're looking at.
It will give you that description, but if someone gets a whole bunch of cards in front of them and they have to constantly do that, it's still not going to make them feel great.
It's not as much fun, though.
Which is sad. Whereas something worse, Telestrations is, you know, it's the best version of kind of Pictionary that's ever been created.
Yep.
And is an absolute, and it plays up to 12. There's an edition that plays up to like 8. You can get, don't get that, not even look at it. Get the one that goes up to 12, because we've never had a bad time with playing it, and it always ends in tears in a good way.
Of course, tears of joy.
Yes. Cash and Guns is obviously awesome.
Yep.
Bang the Dice game plays up to 8.
I've still not played that. I've only played,
haven't you?
actual Bang.
No.
Actually, it was a counterfeit copy of Bang I bought in Hong Kong, which I've lost, so I don't know where it is anymore.
Well, basically, yeah, I mean, Bang the Dice Game is essentially King of Tokyo, which is one of my favourite games ever, except you can have two extra people and there's hidden roles.
Yep.
And you're on kind of teams against each other, so that alone is, you know, brilliant. Then you've got your Spy Falls, your Say Anything, your classic, like, Liar Dice. Things like Dixit and Mysterium, which yep. can play up to like 6 or 7, which are also very cool. Geek Out for the much geekier amongst
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Geek Out, mainly because if I play it with you and Trent, I always lose.
Yeah, that is one that you need to kind of know your audience. But we've, in the past, used Geek Out, like most party games, they're for fun. Yeah. You don't have to follow the rules majority of the time.
And it's not about a winner.
Some of them you have to follow. Some like a deception murder in Hong Kong, you need to follow the rules a bit more, otherwise it doesn't really work. Geek Out is a great way to just get conversations going.
Yeah.
Between, if you've got people that are relatively geeky, if you've got someone there that knows nothing about it, then don't play it at all because that's just rude to them. As much as, you know, they're wrong and they should become one of us. one of us. It's unfair to them. But as we've said, you know, you can put in and go, oh, something about the movie. Oh, I saw this movie the other day and blah, 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 which is the whole point of having friends around and kind of having a laugh.
Correct.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could probably keep going on and on and on and on and on, but I've got some iOS stuff that I want to talk about.
That is true.
So we're going to have another song, and then I'm going to come back, because there is a little bit of iOS news. Excellent. We'll only have a little bit of time for it, but you are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with just Garth and just Leon today.
It's a bit harsh, just.
Well, you've been away for a couple of weeks, so it's nice to have you all to myself.
I'm basically a special guest. Doing pretty well, I think.
You're very special, Leon. Anyway, we'll be back after this. Thanks so much to Polymorph Games and Hobbies for sponsoring us. We'll be back after this song.
So, Garth, I just can't say enough good things about Grail Games. They're a fantastic little Australian company, and they've got things happening all over the place.
Do they ever? And they all involve your mate, Dr. Rainer Knizia.
The good doctor? Are you talking about that fantastic new release of his classic old game, Stevenson's Rocket, which is available right now on Kickstarter?
Yeah, well, I am. And the good thing is it's already funded. It's over 250% already.
It's still got 17 days to go.
It's like a baby that's already fully grown. It's amazing. Because it's so young and so cute, but it's got so many stretch goals already achieved. It's amazing.
And not only can you get Stevenson's Rocket in that Kickstarter, you can also order the other fantastic new Grail games, Kashgar and Criss Cross will make you jump.
I'm not doing that, but that's okay because I haven't jumped for a long time. But anyway, you can. And the other thing that you can do with Grail Games is jump onto grailgamesshop.com.au.
Jump.
Of course, why not? And you can pre-order those games as well. You can order Criss Cross. You can pre-order Kashgar. You can also get Deep Sea Adventure, which is this little card game about the submarine.
What?
Going down, you're trying to collect the loot. You'll probably run out of oxygen and die.
Oh, that's one of those fantastic little Japanese micro games.
It is. But you'll have fun dying of lack of oxygen.
Oh, and look, I don't know if people even knew, if you previously backed King's Road, which is another huge success for Grail Games, you can get a discounted backing of Stevenson's Rocket in the Kickstarter. How good is that?
I love a discount.
So it only costs you $70 to back Stevenson's Rocket. This acclaimed game that has been out of print for such a long time and people are so excited about it and it ships anywhere in the world.
And that's 70 Australian?
That's right, even cheaper if you're not in Australia.
Well, there you go, that's outrageous. I would definitely go onto grailgameshop.com.au or easily go onto Kickstarter and back Stevenson's Rocket, get Kashgar thrown in, why not, and even Criss Cross too.
They're called Grail Game for a reason, you know. Because everyone wants to get their hands on them.
Oh, just like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Choose wisely.
I think you have drunk from the wrong cup because you're looking horribly old.
Grail Games, you know you want them.
I do.
Did we miss anything?
Just comedic genius.
That was Tora with another case on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh this week, brought to you by polymorphgames.com.au. Remember to go there, chuck in the promo code Dice Men, all capital letters, to get your cheeky little discount. Now, we are running a competition at the moment, aren't we, Younger?
Damn right we are.
With our good friends at Grail Games, some of our favourite friends over there. We have two copies of King's Road and one copy of Medici the Card Game to give away. And it's very, very simple to enter. All you've got to do is tell us what board game universe you would like to be king or queen or both for a day. And to send those entries, you can either email us at dicemencometh@gmail.com, or you can send it to our Twitter, or probably the simplest way to do it, it'll take you 10 seconds, send us a PM on Facebook. We're most active on there generally, and we would love to hear everybody's responses so we can have a big old pool of people to choose from when we enter this competition, which is going to be, I believe, 2 weeks from now on the 14th of September. We're going to draw that one.
That's right. Leon.
Yes.
What universe would you like to be queen of for a day?
Would I like to be
or king, or both?
Well, the first one, as soon as you said that, I was the king of Tokyo. And I thought, like, if I could be one of those characters and be king for it, because you only want to be king for a day to get your victory points and then get the bloody hell out of
there. Exactly. And you will be in Tokyo in the not too distant future, so you might get to live out that dream.
Oh, maybe I should dress as a giant monkey in Tokyo. I am going to do that go-kart thing dressed as a superhero.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
That's basically just the same. Anyway, you had some toilet fun to tell us about.
Did I ever?
Yes.
So I've spent some time on the toilet lately, and it's been a little while since my iOS update. Mm. I'm very glad that we don't have some horrible music that Mark generally likes to play when I start this.
Tends to.
So anyway, let's get into it, because we've only got a couple of minutes left on this show. It's flown by.
Mm.
It's the amazing thing about quality content, Leon.
I know.
The show just flies by.
Indeed it does.
So anyway, probably the biggest release of very recent history is that Tim Fowers, so designer of The Fugitive, a little two-player game. He's got a game on Kickstarter right now called Now Boarding. But his biggest one for me anyway is probably Burgle Brothers.
Yeah.
It was our game of BorderCon a couple of years ago. I think you own a copy.
I do.
I own a copy. More than us just own copies, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
For a game where you're all playing thieves, it's modular, it's got heaps of tiles and heaps of actions, and it plays in under an hour. It's a great heist game.
Yes.
But it's fiddly?
It can be a wee bit fiddly. And I'm just thinking, that has been out for quite a while now. Yeah. Where's our bloody expansion?
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's a game that's easy to expand. It gives some sort of new board stuff, new rooms, new characters. That would be great instead of bringing out the, what's that word game that he makes? I don't care.
Oh, yeah, paperback.
Yeah, which is, there's also an iOS version of that as well.
There is. I play that quite a bit. Anyway, maybe you should get an iOS version of Burgle Brothers that has been released, because it does have a couple of different game modes. It also has a couple of really random tile layouts. So it's not just your standard, I think, 4x4 tile placement where you've got three stories to try and go through.
Yep.
Or a couple of floors that are bigger, like 5x5 ones.
Yeah.
It's got a couple of different game modes in it. It's got a few different scenarios where, for example, you'll only see where the guards are when your character is within eyesight of them.
Uh-huh.
So you may not necessarily know the path that the guards are going to, or where the guards are, in fact. So that makes it a little bit more interesting. Now, it's on the iOS devices. You can get it on your iPhone or your iPad. From memory, it's about $8 Australian,
yeah,
which, you know, is a good enough price for a great game.
Yeah.
You can play it quite quickly. You can play against real players. You can with real players. You can play with real robots. You can do pass and play, so you can all sit on your own toilets in your home, or you can sit on the one toilet collectively. All of that is fine.
I think it's a game you could easily pass an iPad kind of around a table.
Totally.
Sit in the lounge room, watch a telly, and kind of pass it back and forth between you and a friend or whatever.
Exactly. So that's the biggest one. Second one that I wanted to talk about briefly is Suro.
Ah.
That little game, and I didn't realize it's from 2004.
It's been out a while.
So it is older than my kids.
it's older than my kids, too.
And going back to our chat about Secret Hitler, I think it was the very first game I watched Will Wheaton and his mates play on tabletop.
Yeah, it'd be close to
and
it.
And I think it's because of him I bought it.
Yeah, I don't own it, but I've wanted to buy it for a very long time. But the price, and the iOS version of this may solve that, the price has always kind of been, I mean, it's around your $50, $60 mark, but there's not heaps in it.
No, there isn't.
And it is kind of a filler-ish kind of game. You're not playing it for hours.
Look, it goes for 15 or 20 minutes. So in terms of a party game, it can be that next level party game that is not let's just be stupid for a little bit, because it involves a bit of strategy. Yeah. You're all ostensibly playing dragons on the path to enlightenment, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Plays from 2 to 8 players, so it's really quite broad in its player count, and it doesn't necessarily suffer at the lower player counts. 2 players? Nah, don't do that.
No.
But 3 to 4 and upwards, it plays really quickly. You go through the tiles because all you're doing is you've got three tiles each player has anyway to choose. And on each tile, you've got a whole bunch of different squiggly lines. Purely all you're doing on your turn is putting one of those tiles in front of your dragon piece. And you're just trying to stay on the board as long as possible. You're just trying to be the last dragon standing.
Yeah, it's a very kind of simple game. And as you said before, being a party game, I thought, oh, it's not a party game. It's a filler game. But I had no idea it played up to eight. Yeah. I thought it was like 2 to 4. And as you said, you wouldn't play it with 2 or 3.
No.
It's a four-player game.
Exactly.
But eight, I'd like to play it. That sounds interesting. It's weird as hell, but that would be interesting.
It's great, and it's so quick, and I love it. So my kids play this all the time.
Yeah.
It was the first board of mine that got damaged from overuse.
Oh, nice.
So that's got a little special part of me, you know. It's about $4 at the moment. It's on 40% off sale, which is great.
Yeah.
About a week ago, it was the App Store's app of the day. So I got it for $0.
Excellent. Woo.
Probably should have told you about it. Look, it is awesome.
Is it Suro of the Sea?
No.
It's just normal,
it's
everyday
plain
Suro.
Plain old bog standard Suro, which admittedly I prefer. I prefer just pure Suro to the Suro of the Seas. I get why other people like it, but it's one of those things like King of Tokyo. I think that is the perfect game for what it is.
Yep.
It doesn't need to change for me.
See, I do agree with you. I've played both the standard Suro as well as Suro of the Sea. However, the reason I said I haven't bought it is because I do want Suro of the Sea, because I do want to have that option.
Yep.
That if I did want to, because you can use Suro of the Sea to play regular Suro or the advanced one with your dragons flying around and whatever else.
Yeah.
So I would like to have that option. That's the kind of the reason I haven't bought it, because that one's a wee bit more expensive, sadly.
Fair enough. So look, they were the two main things I wanted to talk about.
Yep.
Because we haven't got a huge amount of time, but there's a bit of stuff that came out of Gen Con. We might have to talk about that later on.
Yep.
None of the apps are actually out there. It's more about these are the apps that we're going to be releasing. So they don't need to say it right now.
No.
But I just wanted to give a quick shout out to The Brigade.
Yes.
Another Aussie successfully funded Kickstarter. There's a few hours left to go.
Yes.
Anyone who's been listening to the show recently has heard us talk about it. But I just want to say well done to Alex and Ben from Red Genie Games.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $130,000 now. They were going for $20,000. They've smashed it. They've hit the stretch goals. It looks like it's going to be brilliant. I've played it. It's a lot of fun. And just well done, guys, to them.
Yeah, I mean, well done. It's so weird that all these games that we keep doing advertising for keep getting funded by thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Isn't that nice?
It's weird. It's almost like people should email us if they want us to do ads for their games.
Oh, well, there you go. So, look, that takes us to the end of this show, pretty much.
Yes.
There's not really much else to say, but if you are enjoying listening to us, we always love to hear from you. We love to hear about your life and your board gaming. So send us photos, talk to us. We're more than happy to have a good chat about any old things gaming-wise.
Yeah.
Please like us on Facebook. Please follow us on Twitter or Instagram.
Yep.
We've got the email address, dicemencometh@gmail.com. So send in your entries for the Grail Games King's Road and Medici the Card Game if you were king or queen for a day competition.
Exactly.
And what can they do? They can PM us.
They can PM us. That is called private messaging on the Facebooks.
Well,
we all have phones, and at least Garth and I check it quite regularly.
We do.
Don't know so much about the old ones, but, you know.
They need to dial in, I think, and it's got that old, you
know, nines at the end, and it's a whole situation. But, yes, feel free to get in touch on that. And like, as Garth said, if anyone wants to chat, we're on there, more than happy to chat about anything. That's what we do.
Indeed. So that's us for the week. Thanks again to Polymorph Games and Hobbies for providing us with sponsorship. It's wonderful. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Goodbye.
Yucky da.
You've been listening to another edit of the Dice Men Cometh. It's broadcast each week on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. It's chopped up and turned into a podcast. But if you're curious about listening to the show in its original format, you can do that on edgeradio.org.au. You can also find us on the dicemencometh.com. If you want to support us, you can jump onto Patreon. If you want to support us but you don't want to give us any money, that's fine too. Just leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Yes, I realize I'm asking you to lie for us. And if you really want to support us, get over to our sponsor, Polymorph Games and Hobbies, and buy something for God's sake from polymorphgames.com.au.